Good morning, church. How's everybody? Are you ready for a new year? You know, I know this is not Thanksgiving, but that's what's in my heart this morning. I am thankful for a great 23, and not without stuff. You know, there's stuff, we deal with life, but God is on the throne, God loves us, and I'm also thankful for you. I'm thankful for what God will do in 24. Are you with me? Hear this from Psalm 105. Give praise to the Lord, proclaim his name, make known among the nations what he has done. So I think that's saying to praise him, to thank him, but to tell somebody about that. Proclaim it to the nations. That's the command to us, is to proclaim it. So it can start right now. We can proclaim it in worship this morning, shall we? So welcome to our worship. Welcome to our live stream worshipers as well. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful. We are thankful that you are so faithful to us. When things are going great, you are God and you love us. And when we struggle, you are God and you love us. You walk with us. Sometimes you may have to lift us up. We just praise you. We are grateful and we are thankful. Would you come in this place today? Would you come in us today? As we end 2023 and as we begin a brand new year, Father, we just pray that we would everything we do would please you. We'll bring honor and glory to you. And it's in the powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Rise if you are able. Let's worship.
Well, I was buried beneath my shame.
Chains break. to everybody. And as we look forward to the beginning of a new year, I just want to testify. This was a good year for me because of one thing alone, the presence of God in my life and His grace to me. And I've messed up a whole lot of times this year, but God was right there with me every step of the way. And because of His faithfulness to me, because of God's great love for me, His mercy and His grace, He picked me up and He made me better. And so this next year, I don't want you to worry about having to do something that is perfect or do something that you've never thought about doing. But instead, do this next year with God. Just invite Him to walk every day with you, because He is the one that is good, and He alone is good. And so just 2024, I just want you to aim your life at God and invite Him into your every moment. And if you do that, it'll be a good year for you. Even though you're going to have struggles, okay? We all struggle. There's going to be highs, there's going to be lows. But God is always with us. And there is power in the name of Jesus, and there's power in the blood. Savior Jesus Christ a round of applause this morning. All right, you may be seated. I knew I forgot something. Children, y'all come forward.
This morning. Good to see y'all. All right. Hi, how are you? Good to see ya. Got a few more coming up. Got a few more, maybe. All right. So, did everybody have a great and wonderful Christmas? Yes. Was it fun and exciting? And you got to lots of open presents and ate lots of food.
I got a Game Boy.
You got a Game Boy? All right. That's right. Well, guess what? Christmas is over with, right? Are y'all sad? I'm very sad. Yeah, kind of, yeah. Oh, there's no more presents to unwrap. We have to box up. You have two presents to unwrap? Oh, wow. Well, most people, I have no presents in my house to unwrap. And guess what I've been doing all week? I've been taking down my Christmas decorations. You did? Yeah. So I've been taking down all my Christmas decorations. And it always makes me very sad to take down all the Christmas stuff, because Christmas is so much fun, right? But guess what? We're going to put them again next year, right? Ooh, Christmas is going to come next year, right? So what happens tomorrow?
What about Halloween?
Halloween? Okay. So what happens tomorrow? What's tomorrow?
Christmas.
No, it's not Christmas.
Halloween. School.
School? No, school's not tomorrow.
A new year.
A new year. What new year is it? 2024. That's right. So we're starting a brand new year.
Yep.
So that's right. So, you know, every year at Christmas, I love to put out manger scenes. People always, you know what a manger scene is? It's got the Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus and stuff. And so at Christmas this year, we had, my grandkids had to figure out how many manger scenes I had in just one little section, and they counted 18. So I have a lot of them, okay? So some are little beauty and some of the, but you know what? I love manger scenes because it's always a reminder what Christmas is. It's Jesus' birthday, right? You can tell me in just a minute, okay? It's Jesus' birthday, and always just a reminder of Jesus came to, as a baby, to that stable a long time ago, right? So I have some very special ones. So I brought a couple of pictures of ones. So I have this one. This is a picture of one of my very special ones. This is one that I had when I was growing up. My mom and dad bought it when I was probably about 5 years old. So it's at my house. So every year I pull it out, I think about my mom and dad and how much they love Jesus. It's just a reminder. You're going to find out. So it just reminds me. It just reminds me that they love Jesus and they taught me about Jesus, you know? And then another one that I had is, I have, and y'all have seen this one before. Did you? And y'all seen one like this before. Yeah. I bought this one when I... Do you have that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought this one so that when my granddaughter, grandkids can come over and they can play with it, or if some kids come over, they can play with it and have lots of fun. Yeah. So we have all different kinds of manger scenes. And so this week as I was packing up and I'm wrapping everything up, I get very sad. Because guess what? I love those manger scenes. Just a reminder. And I got to thinking, I'm putting Jesus in a box and boxing him up and putting him in the closet. Do we need to do that?
No,
we don't need that. We don't need to put Jesus away, right? So that's not very nice. You're right. It is not very nice. It is not very nice. So about 5 or 6 years ago, I decided every year after Christmas, instead of boxing up all my manger scenes, I would leave some out all year long. I have one on my kitchen windowsill. I've got one by our TV. I've got one on a top shelf. And then I have this one that I've been putting on my desk. It's a little bitty one. Yeah. Oh, someone cut it out for me. And I have these reminders that Jesus isn't in a box, is he?
No.
And do we need Jesus just at Christmas? No. When do we need Jesus? Every single day. That's right. Well, you know, but sometimes we get busy at the new year, and guess what? We sometimes maybe forget about Jesus. It's like us putting Jesus in a box, because we get busy. We get busy with the new year, doing new things, maybe playing baseball or softball or doing whatever you're doing, and you sometimes forget to talk to Jesus. Do y'all forget to talk to Jesus?
Yeah.
So sometimes we do. Yeah, we get to talk to him. We praise him. We forget to read our Bible. So, but does God want us to do that every day?
No.
But Christmas is always a great time to be reminded of that.
When is the new song?
I don't know. So, yeah. So, as you think about it, even as you're, have y'all put up your decorations yet? So, maybe if you had a small one that you could leave out at your house, can that be a reminder to keep Jesus out all year long? You only have two? It's okay. A picture would be great, too, you know? So let's not forget about Jesus this year, this new year for 2024. Can y'all remember maybe every day to talk to him, to pray, to read his word for this whole year of 2024? Can y'all do that? Yes. And it says in Hebrews 12:2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. So can we keep our eyes on Jesus? Yes. And so as we go along this year, and if you have a manger scene or a picture, let it keep your eyes on Jesus as a reminder that Jesus is with us every day, not just at Christmas. Okay? Let's say a prayer. Okay. Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, and thank you that you love us. And I thank you that as we've just celebrated Christmas and that you sent your son Jesus into that stable a long many years ago, Lord, that you had a plan for him to go to the cross for our sins, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for your great plan and your great love for us, Lord. Just bless the kids, bless the boys and girls as we go to Children's Church today, and bless our families. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's go.
So, lessons from the children. Number one, it's not nice to put Jesus in a box. That's the first thing. And we need Jesus every day. Amen. Wisdom from the children. If you will rise with me, if you're able, as we recite the Apostles' Creed together, this wonderful creed that's been around for almost 2,000 years. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. If you are, well, first of all, and please hold your applause. I know I can guarantee you're going to hear a great sermon today because I'm not preaching. Pastor Marcy, raise your hand back there. Where's Pastor Marcy? Woohoo! Pastor Marcy's going to bring the word today. The only thing about Pastor Marcy is she's going to have to pick up her enthusiasm a little bit, her energy a little bit. So we'll be praying for that, Marcy. I'll be back in the pulpit next week, and we're looking forward to hearing what the Lord has to say through Marcy this morning. If you are our guest this morning, we are especially glad that you're here and that you're closing out 2023 with us, and pray that you will come back and be with us next week as we start a new year. If you are our guest, there's the blue card with in the pocket in front of you that says guest registration, and I would love to meet you. We'd love for you to fill that out. I'll be at this end of the foyer, and would love to meet you. Have a free gift for our guests. So as we go into this time of prayer, and I mentioned it in the greeting this morning, welling up inside of me is thankfulness. Thankfulness for God's faithfulness to us this year. He has, you know, I've been here 22 years, and I have seen God has grown us. Not just in numbers, but he's grown us in our depth with the Lord. And I think he's still got work to do, in me at least. I don't know about anybody else, but I think he's still at work. And what a blessing to be a part of that. In the early years, Terry and I were the praise team for several months, and Terry held us together. Thank goodness. But now we've got how many teams, Cody? Four teams that rotate. Four teams that rotate through. God has He's just provided so many servants, not just in the praise team, but in so many different ways. And I'm just thankful for you. I'm thankful for the Lord, and I'm thankful for His faithfulness to us. I want to give you an opportunity. Shout it out loud in prayer. Something you're thankful for that God, that you were just remembering this as we close out 23. Friends. Yeah. Keep. Shout it out. Shout it out. Loud and proud. Keep shouting. Come on. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and thank Him for those things and all the other things that He has done for us. If you'll pray with me. Father, you've heard these items mentioned, but Father, I know there's so much more. And if we are struggling to think what we can thank you for, God, would you just reveal that to our hearts? All the things you've done for us. But more than anything else, Lord, as we sang just a little while ago, thank you for the blood of Jesus. That you, no matter what we do, your blood covers it. You are a gracious and merciful God, and we are just so grateful, God, how you pour out your love on us, how you lavish us with your love. And Father, you don't just talk a good game, but you demonstrated your love for us on the cross. Jesus, you came, and it was not an easy task, so much so that as you know you're going to the cross, Jesus, you're in the garden and you say, Lord, would you take this cup from me? But then you said, not my will but yours be done. You surrendered your will. You surrendered your health and your righteousness. You surrendered it for our sake, and we are grateful. We are so grateful, Lord. It just words don't do it justice, but we are a forgiven and a redeemed people because of what you did on the cross, and because that 3 days later the tomb was empty. Nothing that we have come against us. Even death itself has no power over us because of you, Jesus, because of the empty tomb. So, Lord, I'm reminded on our Christmas Eve service, there were a lot of people that went down to light candles for those that have gone before us, and many, many that have gone this year. And so this may be a difficult time. So would you, through the comfort of your Spirit, would you draw near to the brokenhearted? Would you remind them that you are with them, you walk with them? And Jesus, you said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. Would you give us rest? Lord, we are grateful, and we thank you for all these things, and we pray the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to also thank you for your financial faithfulness to our church. You've allowed us to do some extraordinary ministry this year to a lot of hurting people. We are grateful for that. There's giving boxes at both doors. You can also give through our app or our online. Follow what's on the screen. Thank you again.
Lost, but now
turn graves into gardens, and you turn bones into armies, you turn seas into highways, and you're the only one who can. Amen, amen.
Amen. Gloria. Amen. Will you turn your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy 34? And we'll read Deuteronomy 34, 1 through 12. Amen. Amen. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah across from Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land of Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all of the land of Judea as far as the Mediterranean Sea, the Negev and the whole region from the Valley of Jericho, the city of palms as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over it." And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab in the valley opposite of Beth Peor, but to this day no one knows where the grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were undimmed and his strength unabated. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now, Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all the signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all the officials and to the whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of Israel. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for today. And thank you that you have allowed us to get this far. Thank you because it is your word, Father, that we proclaim this morning. And it is, Father, your word that we pray comes deep to our depth of our heart, Lord, that we may learn of it. In Jesus' name, amen. The sermon title this morning is "The End Prepares Us for a Better Start." Now, someone once said, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. Yeah, I think so. How many of us believe that God has been good to us this year? I know I can. Can you say, God has been good to me this year? Okay, let's just say it as if we mean it. God has been good to us this year. Now say, Dios ha sido bueno conmigo. Wait, what happened? Okay, come, Lord Jesus, come. Now, don't say I never taught you a little Spanish, but we all know the story of Moses. If you've been in this church 3 weeks or less than 100 years, hello out there, you have heard Moses. There's something about Moses. Moses was that baby that was drawn out of that water, remember? He was born of humble means. Yes, he would have never known the first 40 years since he was in the palace. Moses was chosen by God to deliver his people from the terrible hand of Pharaoh and slavery. Of course, Moses was the leader of the Israelites. Moses is recognized as the mediator of the Old Covenant. He's the law presenter and the law giver. Moses is the principal author of the Pentateuch, the foundational books of the entire Bible. Moses also plays that role in the Old Testament, a type of shadow of the role that Jesus plays in the New Testament. And then we learned this in Sunday school with Mike Matthews. Where's Mike? Yay! Yes, if you don't come to Sunday school, you're missing it, man. It's good. If you want to learn, this is a little commercial. Come to Sunday school. Ask questions. Really good. I thought we could talk a little bit about Moses since we're looking towards and approaching the end of the year. In a couple of hours, it's going to be gone. Who would have known? Just a couple of months ago, we were making a resolution for this year. I mean, you can only eat seaweed for a couple of days. That's it. Some of us gave up that diet long time ago, that's for sure. It just doesn't go good with us Hispanics at all, at all. We begin that moment where God chose Moses, the land that he has promised, not only to Moses, but to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to all the descendants. Imagine what beauty. Now, I don't know if you've ever bought a piece of land and they say, well, it's only $1,000. But when you go out there, it's like, well, no wonder it's $1,000. There's a mess out there. I mean, you got to clean it up. Moses is seeing this land from on top of the mountain. God takes him up there. And imagine that contentment that Moses must have had when he and God saw that promise fulfilled, that promise come to fruition. Maybe even thinking, wow, thank you, Lord, I'm here. Wow, we've made it 40 years. Excuse me, and we are here. I've reached the place that you promised all of us. And then now God says, but you can't enter. I'm telling you, had it been me, I'd been making a fuss. What do you mean I can't enter you? I mean, you're kidding, right? It's like, I mean, this was a couple of months ago or decades ago that okay, I made a little mistake and you said you were going to let me in, but you're kidding. You're going to let me in, right? Like, I'm coming, right? You are. You're not going to change your mind? Like, what happened? Why? Sometimes we do that to ourselves. We ask the Lord, why? I can just imagine. I'm thinking that if it were me, I would say, why, Lord? Why can't I enter the promised land? Look, you gave Pharaoh 10 chances, remember? And yet you let the people go. He let the people go. And maybe we come into this thinking in our mind that why you didn't change your mind? We begin to remind God, and we even make a checklist. Well, I went to Pharaoh, remember? You told me to go, and I went. And remember, I presented the 10 plagues, remember? Remember the people rebelled against you, and we brought them back? I brought them back. Remember, Lord? And I begin to make a checklist of, why aren't you going to let me in? We tend to want to finish what we start, but when it comes to ministry, brothers and sisters, you learn the hard way that ministry is ongoing. It never stops. It doesn't stop until Jesus comes home, until Jesus says, boop, 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 come and get it. It doesn't stop. Ministry continues. God has other plans. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, I can clearly hear him say, it's not your ministry, it's mine. It's not under your terms, Marcy. It's mine. You've been used as far as I can use you. Now the season is. But Lord, I want to go. I want to go into that promised land. I want to finish that project. I can hear him say, this is the moment that you were used to serve me. And now it's time to move on. I have other plans for you. Leaders, God may have other plans for you. Brothers, sisters, God may have other plans for you this upcoming year? Have we been sensitive to the Holy Spirit in our lives? Have we been sensitive to the Holy Spirit as to where He's going to lead us? Don't get stuck on the you. Don't get stuck on the past. Don't get stuck. If it weren't for me, it's not going to get done. Move on. I promise, if it is in God's name, it's going to get done. He's going to get it done, with or without us. I promise. Moses is telling him, how many times I have done this? Who cares, Moses? I am God. Make a dish, sanctify us, that our minds and our thoughts not be the same. Jehovah Tsidkenu, God of righteousness, you know what you do with or without me. How many times mommies and daddies, pastors and lay servants work on people or on projects, even on our own families, to put a, and we put our whole life or our efforts into a project because we're interested in the spiritual aspect of the mission. You see, God knows what He needs and He will provide. He just needs us to be willing to be used. And He needs us to be grown up, to be willing to sit back when it's time to rest it. If Moses learned anything in his lifetime, is that it was not going to be his way. It was going to be God's way. You're not going in. You see it, but you're not going in. I think if anything, COVID has taught us a big lesson about this. You see, a lot of people were playing church for a long time. Hadn't we been playing church, our churches would be full today. If it weren't for COVID, I don't know what would have happened. Maybe we'd still play in church. It is better to be saved than to lose our soul. How many churches are even closing down or were closed? Where 500 stood, now maybe 50 or less are there. Sometimes we tend to question God as to why. If we've done everything that you have asked us to do, why? Why can't I go in? Why can't I finish? You're not going to let me finish the project. You're not going to let me go into the promised land. You know, brothers and sisters, sometimes we can become a hindrance more than a blessing when we want things our way and not God's way. We can get so repetitive when we do things. We can even do things with our eyes closed because it's so repetitive. Nothing is new. The Bible says that every day is a new day. Every day is something new. I give you a new day. How many times do we use that day, that newness? You see, we don't see the big picture. We see the here and now, but He sees the big picture. He sees that the end prepares us for a better start. Remember, everything here on earth is temporary. Ecclesiastes has showed us that. For everything, there is a season. For everything, there is a season. God tells Moses there, you see, I let you see it. The people are here, and it's time to move on. And you know, Brother Cody, I can just hear him say, and I stepped out of that grave. Woohoo! Into that glorious day. I can just hear Moses stepping out. He didn't get the promised land. He got a better land. He got Beulah land. Guess what? In the next verse, we hear that he dies right there. Moses, the servant of the Lord, dies there in Moab, as the Lord had said. But listen, yes, he dies. Yes, the servant of the Lord is gone. We don't know where he is, but he's gone. God buried him. As a matter of fact, he's the only one God buried. He didn't die a frail man. He didn't die weak. No, quite the contrary. Verses 6 and 7 say that his eyes were undimmed. It says his strength was unabated. That means that he was strong. He was just as strong as when he left Egypt. Whoa, I don't know. You know, I was reading in the research, John Beyer says that from Mount Nebo to Dan, where he could see, is 163.88 kilometers. That's all. He had a pretty good sight. I take these off and that's gone. That's it. I don't know if who's where. He could see. That's going to Lubbock twice. That's how far he could see. Imagine that. That he sight. He had great sight. There was no restriction in his strength. This guy was just as strong as when he left Egypt. Imagine that. At my age, I may look 120 with this gray hair. Well, I take it back. I'm a tad younger than that, but I'm exhausted. From our own health problems, like Brother was mentioning, Pastor Jeff, our worries, our life issues, bills, joys, sometimes disappointments. Sometimes we worry for our own kids and the decisions that they make. Sometimes we worry about their schooling. And I'm telling you, the educational system needs our prayers. Man, that's a tough place to work. Besides the church. That's a tough place to work. We worry. I worry about all these things. I think of how cruel some of those children are. How mean they are. They work to survive in this cruel world. Some of our own kids are being sucked in or are being consumed by what's happening out in the school system. You and I have a lot to do in this upcoming year. We worry. I'm exhausted for all the things that are happening all around me. But not Moses. Man, this guy was just as good as he was when he left Egypt. I would have thought that by now at 120, he'd be exhausted of what? A tired people, an inconsistent people. You're talking hundreds and thousands of people that were with him. They were obedient one day, disobedient the next day. They were rebellious one day, and another day they were repentant. At times they were happy, and at times they wanted to hang him by the ears. They wanted to kill him themselves. They wanted to kill Moses themselves. Phew, I don't know how this guy made it, but he did. And now God says, it's time. God says, you're not going to enter in. Moses just waiting for the next move. What a servant of God. I ask you this morning, brother and sister, how are we approaching this coming year? In our own lives. How are we seeing this new year? Are we like Moses in prayer and waiting on God's next move? Have we even thanked God for his goodness all year long? Have we even thanked him for that car or for that new house? Have we said, thank you, Lord, because you've brought me this far? Can we say, thank you, Lord, that my kid makes it home every day after school? You know, some colleges are eating up our kids because they're not strong enough to stand on their faith. They're so confused. Have we said, thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. You know, remember that song? All that I have is because God has provided. Isn't that true? Every single thing that we have is because God has provided. What have we done for the kingdom this past year? It'll be over. You know, everything comes to an end, you know. Moses' life came to an end, and so will this year. And how will we start the new year? The people mourned for Moses 30 days. And then the weeping and the mourning, verse 8, was over. Brothers and sisters, it's the end of the crying and the mourning. The people were moving on to the promised land. They were right at the edge. Moses had left them there, just waiting to go in. It's interesting to me that Moses died and God buried him. And again, it was just God and Moses. And that was the end of that funeral. There was no three-hour service or televised service for a great man. There was no Time magazine or Mount Nebo or Pizza Herald reporter coming to take his life story. Nothing like that. It was just Moses and God. Moses spared him at birth, and I mean, God spared him at birth, and God buried him at death. Wow. Moses didn't have any family members fighting or arguing about who took care of his camels or his ox. There was no fighting about, I deserve more inheritance since I took care of him more longer than you. There was no fighting over the tent or the pots and pans that Moses had. There was nothing like that. It was just he and God. I remember before my father passed away, he said, I hope my kids want my working tools. You kidding me? Brother, I'm telling you, we worked in the cotton field from 5 in the morning. We'd get up at 4, 5 in the morning, till 12 in the afternoon. And they would give us this long sack, 100 yards long, I swear. Then they gave us these scissors to cut onion, detassel corn. My poor kids, I put them through it. They're like, Mom, I'll never forget that. No, you won't. No. Nobody was fighting for those tools. We didn't get a John Deere. No, we got a hoe. And I'm telling you, my kids and my husband still use my dad's hoe. Man, those things were long-lasting. They're 100 years old, but they were long-lasting. Nobody was fighting for them. We had to kill the apartment. That's why we inherited it. And I'm telling you, there was no 9-day rosaries. Us Hispanics have 9-day rosaries after somebody passes away. They're called novenarios para los difuntos. Did you get that? Novenarios para los difuntos. And it's a 9-day rosary. You go through it for 9 days. There was none of that. It was just he and God. And this shouldn't surprise us because it was he and God. Remember at the burning bush? Remember it was he and God with the Ten Commandments? Remember? No one else. Brothers and sisters, it's the end of this year. How long have you taken alone with God? How long have you taken alone with God? How long? Have you even taken a moment to even think what it is that this upcoming year is going to bring me? God, what am I going to do? How am I going to move forward this year? One thing that, again, in Mike's class, we learned that it was a whole new people. A whole new generation was here. It was a whole new people that started, the whole new people, not the same one that started the journey with Moses. Excuse me. It was a whole new people. They didn't think the same. Yes, They had buried Moses. But this new generation didn't think the same. They were taught the Torah. Remember in Deuteronomy 11, he says, teach them to your children when you're walking and when you're at home and when you're sitting down on the road. Tell them about the laws. This new generation was a whole new generation. It was a whole new way of thinking. Like today, it's a whole new way of thinking today. Our generation today thinks very different than we do. I'll tell you, in my generation, you know what the cure for ADHD was? A black belt. And I'm telling you, it cured it in a second. What are you saying, that you're not going to sit down? Oh, you're going to sit down. There was respect. We respected our elders. I'm telling you, if we talked back to our parents, we'd find our teeth on the floor. Thank God for Medicaid at that time. But brothers and sisters, it's a whole new generation. It was a whole new way of thinking. The new today, the generation today, what's wrong with two men getting married? What's wrong with two women getting married? It's a sin. It's not God's way. Hello? But we Christians need to stand up for that. We need to let them know that God loves them despite, but that's not his way. The way they think today, sometimes I feel, and I'm moving away from the pulpit because sometimes I feel that the church has failed. Sometimes I feel that we failed the community. Sometimes I feel that we became equal to them or were doing things their way instead of helping them understand God's way. And how do you do that? I think pastors and leaders and superintendents and people, we just rack our brains. How can we love them? How do we love them? How do we show them that we love them without hurting them? Tell me I'm fat and you hurt me. Give me a good diet and let's work on it. And that's sometimes what we need. We need to purge the way we think. And we need to let God do what he needs to do. Respect nowadays is so different. I went into the school the other day and some high school student was yelling at the teacher. And I thought, wait, what? What's going on here? They almost got into a fight. The respect was so different. Sometimes I hear teens being disrespectful to their parents. You know what? Nowadays, they're negotiating to throw the trash. Well, I did it yesterday. You do it today, Dad. Like, wait, what? No. You're throwing the trash every day because you're my son. And you've got a duty. Sometimes we negotiate. God's word is non-negotiable. I remember that when my grandmother died, we were mourning for a whole year. I remember we wore black. We were the Johnny Cash group. Everybody wore black. There was no music in the house. We didn't play music for a whole year. If we wanted to hear music, we had to leave the house. We couldn't hear music in the house. We died today. Our kids are selling our prized possessions tomorrow. There's no sentiments behind that. They're having an estate sale. I guess that's what you call it. I don't know. These were not the same people that Moses. They mourned for 30 days. It was over and they were moving on. They just wanted to get to the promised land. They didn't even know what the promised land was waiting for them. They just wanted to cross over. Man, if you're in the desert for 40 years, guess what? Yes, it was the ending of Moses' life, but it was the preparation of his new beginning. It was the end of his life, but it was preparing him for a better start. Heaven, hello. Stepping out of that grave and right into the glorious day. Each and every one of us. Have gone through a lot of troubles and trials this past year, maybe. I don't know. Moses is gone, but he's not remembered as a failure, but a servant of God. The Bible says that there had been no one that has done what he did. He was a man that struggled but kept his eye on the reward, like Hebrews 11:26 says. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And now the new begins with Joshua leading the people into the promised land. Now, we can't talk too much about the future because only God knows the outcome. But we can vision. You want a new house? Pray for it. Vision for it. You want a new car? Pray. Vision for it. There's nothing wrong with that. We cannot talk about the future and about the outcome, but we can plan for it. God knows the outcome. When we vision, the Bible says in Proverbs 29 that my people perish for the lack of vision. It's okay to vision. It's okay to plan. But is God in the midst of that? Is God in the middle of that plan, approving it? Look at this past year, what you did. If you did nothing, consider doing something this year. That's a step forward. If you gave a dollar, give a dollar 10. If you didn't do, it's time to move. It's time to do. We need you to do it. We need more people in the field. Matthew says, look, ask for more workers. There's plenty to do. If you don't think there's plenty, ask Billy and ask Carlene. There's plenty to do. God chose Joshua and Moses laid his hands on him. The new year will bring many challenges. It will. You think it was going to be easy for Joshua to just go into the promised land? Oh, no, 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 no. There was going to be challenges, as there will be challenges for each and every one of us. It was a new territory for Joshua. It was new when they were going in. As a matter of fact, before they even crossed into the promised land, guess what they had to do? He had to part the river. He had to part the Jordan. Remember the Red Sea? This one too. It had to part before they entered the promised land. It was not going to be easy. Then after that, they had to fight for it. They had to fight for the promised land. Was it going to be easy? No. Brothers and sisters, we too may have to fight, but not fight on our knees and ask God for guidance. There has never been a man like Moses. You're right. Who showed the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did. What have we done this past year? That you will be remembered, that we will be remembered for. What will people say based on the testimony that we've lived this past year? You know, John Wesley said or wrote preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. Your testimony should have been enough this year. If it hasn't, guess what? The altar is ready. Makadisha is ready. Jehovah Makadisha is ready to sanctify us and start anew in this new year. Many of us have gone through the wilderness this past year, maybe with illnesses, maybe with trials. Maybe we've even lost a loved one. We've gone through so many ups and downs, maybe. I know this church has lost so many great leaders and so many wonderful members. But we have the hope that we will see them one day. It's not been easy, but what has kept the church afloat has been that there's prayer warriors on their knees, that God has been leading this church. It has not been a man-built church. It's been a God-led church. If you look back from December to January, January to December, and you look at the service that we have done, and maybe you're crying, or maybe you hurt, or maybe your feelings, Pastor Marcy, has been hurt because I didn't get the credit, because I didn't get what I deserved. I really wanted more applause and more. Maybe I wanted it to be about me and not about God. Today it's time to focus and recharge and get back yourself to the Lord, to the altar. It's not about getting the credit. It's about getting it done. It's not about reaching out for an empty reward. It's about reaching out for the ending reward. You know, that was one reason Moses didn't reach the promised land or wasn't allowed to enter the promised land, because he wanted to take the credit. He wanted the credit. Remember in Numbers 20, it says that Moses and Aaron gathered all the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Now hear me, you rebels." He said, "Shall we, Aaron and me, bring you water?" Ha, hello. It's not about us. It's about the gospel. It's about what Jesus died on the cross. It's not about your failure. Because in ministry, there is no failure. It's a failure if you don't do it. But if you did it and it didn't work out for whatever reason, it's not a failure. It's a preparation of a new beginning, a preparation of a new start. The end has prepared you for a better start in 2024. This year, shake off the mentality and refresh yourself in God's promise to you and what He has in store for you. Take it, declare it. This year I'm going to be victorious because I'm going to be doing what God has called me to do. It's the end of the year, and what has happened has already happened. But looking forward from now, can your new start be Christ? Can your spirit be one with Jesus? Can you forgive yourself for what you did not do and begin doing it this year? Isaiah says to forget the former things and do not dwell on them. Because that's what the devil wants us to do, to dwell on the failures and what we didn't do and what we shoulda, coulda, woulda. That's a lie of the devil. Move on and say, forget the former things and do not dwell on them, on the past, for I am doing new things. God is doing new things in each and every one of us. God is doing new things in your homes and in your families. It's time to declare it. The devil has stolen enough from us. It's time to take it back. In the mighty name of Jesus. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward, if they may, please. God has been so good. And in his goodness, can we really say, thank you, Lord. If you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, that's where you need to begin. Maybe you've been away from the church. Maybe you've been away from doing what God has called you to do. Maybe you were real active at one point and then all of a sudden you're gone. It's time to come back. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it's the end of the year, but it's time to start afresh and anew. God is calling you. The altar is open. Don't be ashamed to come. The Bible says that whoever is ashamed of me and my word, I will be ashamed of them as well. Come. Come. Make it new. Refresh yourself in the Lord. The altar is open.
Running after me.
Your goodness.
Sisters, it's the end of the year, and a whole new one is coming ahead. Let's work together in unity, and let's share the gospel, even if it is that we don't say a word, but we live Christ. That should be enough. Go and tell someone today. Amen. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.